Now let's open our Bibles as we start this lesson to John 3:16. And if you're visiting with us, this is something that the Spirit of God has directed us to do, is to read this particular passage. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So John chapter 3 and verse 16, we're going to read 16 through 18, and if you would, let's read it together out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read Psalm 119, 130, and I'm going to read it from the Holman Christian Standard translation. It says, "The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced." Now, this set of messages that we're teaching, the series is entitled Faith for Prosperity. So we're talking about prosperity, and we started with the first message last Sunday on who is your source. Who is the source of your prosperity? And this past week, this past Wednesday, we shared a message called What is Prosperity? And today, we're going to share something that I believe is on the heart of God, the purpose of prosperity. The purpose of prosperity. It's wonderful to be prosperous, and we should, and it is our covenant right. But there is a purpose for the prosperity that we have. And one of the things, we can highlight one particular scripture verse. We highlighted a few in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you don't have to turn there, because I'm going to jump in and we're going to share some scripture as we hook up today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And you can get that message and listen to the various translations. I'll read one. The Voice translation says, "God is ready to overwhelm you with more blessings than you could ever imagine, so that you'll always be taken care of in every way, and you'll have more than enough to share." There, right there, that scripture verse and others give you an insight and a little understanding as to the purpose of our prosperity. It's to meet our needs, but it's to share. It's to meet others' needs. And one of the things that we can do is we can look at, these are some thoughts that you can jot these down. Why did Jesus have such abundant resources? Why did he have it? See, because he's our example. And there are scripture verses that you can begin to look at. First of all, it says, "For God It was to do God's will. So Jesus had resources, and you can remember some of the scripture verse in, I believe it's, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's in the book of John, when it talks about Judas Iscariot, and he had oversight over, as they call it, the bag. And he dipped in the bag. But you can also look in the Gospels and you can see that Jesus went about from city to towns and neighboring regions to do what? Ministry work, to do the will of the Father, to do his will. And he had a bunch of folks traveling with him. He had 12 of them. And then he had a person overseeing the bag who dipped in the bag. And he never ran out, did he? So the money that he had, the resources that he had, that Jesus had, wasn't just to meet their needs, but it was also to meet the needs of the poor and different things, because as directed, they gave money out of that bag, didn't they? So the will of God, you can see, is in what we just read, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the will of God is to seek and to save. It's the lost. And so that in and of itself, the money, the tithe, the offerings that come in, support the local church to do the will of God, just like Jesus did, didn't it? And because Jesus is our example, then what he did, we should do, shouldn't we? If he went about into cities and villages, then either we should or we should support someone who is. Is that not true? Now, don't get quiet on me. Don't go to sleep. I want you to pay attention. John 14:12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And of course, you're familiar with John 2:6. I'm going to read it from the New Living. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. So we're to live our lives like he did. He showed us how to live. And one of the things that the Holy Ghost initially said at the beginning of these messages is that everything we do has to be done by faith. So really, when it comes to prosperity, it has to be done by faith, so that when you sow in faith. But there's also the whole issue of faith. Where does that start? In the heart. So the motive for your prosperity really starts with the heart, doesn't it? Everything really centers in the heart. Why do I want prosperity? What's my motive for prosperity? Because if your motive's right, it'll keep you right. See, and folks get off track with prosperity because their motives get off. See, and you can look at this. If our motives are pure and our motives for prosperity are right, then we can expect to be prosperous just as Jesus was prosperous. Here in this earth. See, we can go back and just look at his ministry and see they never lacked. They always had abundance. And they were able to do the will of his Father. So should we. We should never be in a place where we can't bring our tithe into the storehouse to support the work of God and to support those that are out in the field doing the work of God. So we should never be in that place. So our motive has to be the lost or evangelism. And of course, our commission was what? Mark 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Right? So our commission is to go into all the world or to send someone who is going into the world to support. So our motive for prosperity is our motive for being prosperous to have things, or is it to be in a position to support the work of God? Now, God, and you've heard the scripture, which is very familiar, which talks about those that have left houses and homes and so forth shall receive in this lifetime for the gospel's sake houses and lands and so forth with persecution. So if you are seeking God with all of your heart, he's going to give you those things, but as long as your motive is right, that your primary motive is to support the work and the will of God, you're going to have more than you know what to do with. See, and that's our motive. See, and the scripture also talks about, let's look at Matthew 6, says, "For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God's Word translation says, "But first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval." See, first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval, then all these things will be provided for you. He already knows you need them. He already knows you desire them. But if your motive is just to have the things because you feel you're left out, or you want a house, or you want a car, or you want something, be concerned first about his kingdom. What is your motive? You know, you could be a person who says, well, you could be a single person, and you could say, I want to be married. So that becomes your sole focus. Well, he already knows that's a desire. But are you first concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval? And when you are, it says those other things will be added to you. See, you first be concerned about his work and his kingdom, and the things that you desire will be just given to you. See? Because if your motive isn't right, you may get what you want and then be sorry. You see. So we need to first seek him. And his work. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And Paul urged the church in Corinth to give generously and what? Cheerfully. Generously and cheerfully to God's work. So it's the same thing. We've heard the Holy Ghost share. We're being given opportunities to sow into the work of God, into the kingdom of God. And those opportunities, you know, one of the things that's interesting when you go to, let's turn over there just for a moment to Philippians chapter 4. And when you look at verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord." This is Philippians 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Now, interesting thing about opportunities. Opportunities come, well, let's say it this way. When opportunities come, a lot of times it's not a convenient time, isn't it? When somebody needs something, sometimes they need it when? Now. They don't need your help next week or next month or a year from now. An opportunity comes, they need it now. You get a phone call. It's late at night. They need your help. And sometimes it's not convenient. And so sometimes when the Lord prompts us to give and we have an opportunity, sometimes it's not convenient. But He's giving us opportunities to sow. And to plant into what? His work that He's authorized and He's approved. And it's important because sometimes, you know, we shout and get happy, but then when we say we have this opportunity, oh man, boy, this isn't a good week. We got the rent and we got the mortgage and we got, this really isn't a good week. He already knew that. When He asked you, He already knew that. Just make sure it's Him and not your emotions. But if it is Him, He already knows it's not a good week. He's looking for you to take a step of faith. And that's where we are. We're in this season, we're being given opportunities to sow because He wants to do something in our behalf. And there's work in the kingdom of God that needs to be done. You think about all that we do here, the offerings that come in that are over and above the tithe, your free will offerings and giving help support all of the DVDs and CDs, as many as you want, are free. You can go in and order as many as you want. All of that is paid for by, that doesn't come out of the operational money of this church. It comes from excess that you give. And the website, all of the distribution, all of the expenses, all of the hosting fees, all of the things that make that happen is all paid for by your gifts, not your tithes, your gifts. Now let me ask a question. Is that benefiting someone? Oh, you better believe it. Because every month between audio and video, we have somewhere between 15 and 40,000 downloads a month all over the world. That is benefiting somebody. And we need to thank God. And you need to not take it lightly that when you put your dollar or $50 in towards that or $100, God is keeping track of that. God counts it very precious because there's people benefiting from the teaching of the Word of God that's dear to His heart. And we need to count it very precious. Very precious. Because He does. Because we've taken the time to sow seed into something that can reach out and minister to someone that will never come here and be blessed. So when you look at the motive of our hearts, let me just read this in Matthew 6, verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So what do you treasure? See, that gets down to where your heart is. If you are after God's heart, that's where your treasure is. And there's nothing wrong with desiring 6 homes, 10 cars. God never said we couldn't have them. He's looking for you to have a motive that's right. That those things aren't your treasure. That they don't consume your thinking. And I'll read something. You can all turn over to Colossians, because at the end of this, you can turn there and I'll continue to read Matthew, but turn over to Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2. And I'll read, continue reading here. It says, verse 21 in Matthew 6, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or hold to the one and what? Despise the other. So, where is your heart? If it's on earthly things, then your heart will be towards that. And this scripture here says, if your heart is on your earthly things, then it's hard to love God. It can be tough. Now, you can have earthly things, but Pastor Clinton always used to say, what did he say? His mother said, "Wear this earth like a loose garment." That's what he said his mother would say all the time. So, you can have things, you can have a lot of things, but those things aren't a treasure in your heart. You could let them go. So your affections, where are your affections? They need to be towards God and His work and His people. And I can tell you when they are, God will open the windows in your life and pour into your life things you couldn't even imagine. All the things you're after. Pastor Clinton said this once. And of course, I'm sure you did. He dreamed and almost salivated over having a hit tune that would go around the world. He dreamed about it as a young person. But when God got put first, instead of his desire, and he put that album out, that song went around the world. Around and around and around and around and around. So the thing he desired got added to him, but he had to put God first. And he put his work first and his people first. And the thing he desired, he got. See? So the things you want, he already knows that. And he can do a whole lot better. You know, you may be believing for this little thing over here, and he goes, wait, I want to give you this over here. And you're going, whoa. See? But you put him first, and he'll give you what? More than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. See? So our thinking is down on a whole lower scale than his when we put him first. Let's go to Colossians 3:1. I know you're there. We're talking about the purpose of prosperity. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This is the King James Version. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, he didn't say you couldn't have things. He just said, don't set your affection on it. And when you look that word up, affection, it means something you strive after or to direct one's mind after. It means to cherish or to be, and this here it says to be harmonious, but it means to cherish the same views. We need to cherish the same views that God has. See? Now listen to this. I like this. You can look these up online. This is called the Williams Translation by Charles Williams. It's an older translation. You may want to look this up. This is how verse 2 is. Practice occupying your minds with the things above, not with the things on earth. Practice. So you have to practice. That's why I like this translation. You got to practice occupying your mind on things above. See, because stuff's going to come at you. You need to make a choice. You got to practice. That's why I like this. It's a Williams translation. Practice occupying your minds with the things above, not with the things on earth. The Phillips translation. Give your heart, see, this is when it's talking about your heart. Give your heart to the heavenly things, not to the passing things of earth. The Voice translation. Stay focused on what's above, not on earthly things. See, so you got to stay focused. So that just means when you're focused on something, you have things. God's adding to you. You can believe God for things. He wants you to. It's your right. But he said, seek me first. And when you think about this, I believe there's a scripture in the book of James. And you're familiar with this, James chapter 4. In verse 3, it says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. See, so when you ask for something, he already knows your what? Your heart. See? And it's really about our heart. When we just correct that, make an adjustment if it's off, make an adjustment, and the things that you desire, he'll add. He'll pour out in your life those things that you desire. Now, the prosperity that we receive, which is our part of our new covenant, right? That prosperity is primarily to fulfill the Great Commission. And the funds, or I'll say it this way, without funds, without the money, it's difficult to go into all the world, and neither can we help someone else. So in other words, if you're not prosperous, how can you support the work of God and the will of God? It's very difficult. We have this facility here. Newsflash, it takes money to run it. It takes dollars. And we're not trying to get down to earthly things, but it takes money in this society. Money is a means to do things. Money has influence. Money has power. And so with money, there's some things you can do, and without it, you can't. And so when we bring our tithes and our offerings into the local church now can reach out into the community. It can pay. Well, let's think about this. The funds, when you think about this, the even in the Old Testament, the money came into the storehouse. It was to pay and to support the work and those that did what? Work in the temple. That did the work. See, that's no different here. What does he say in Malachi 3:10? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven. So the money, the tithe, we're talking about 10% of your income, 10% of what you receive, is to flow back into the local church so that it can function and operate, minister to people, do what? Seek and save those who are lost. Nurture people in the Word of God. Send people out into the work of the ministry. And of course, in the society that we live now, in the time we live, we can go into all the world through the internet. And so those things take money, and that's the heart of God. That's the reason we should desire to be prosperous. That's our motive, is to fulfill the plan of God and the work of God. So he desires us to be prosperous. And let's turn over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. And we read this here for years, almost every time we received an offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving, not under compulsion. This isn't about doing it legalistically. Your heart is in your giving so you can see the work of God prosper. That's the motive for our giving. We want to see the work of God prosper. And so, turn over to Matthew 23 for a minute. Matthew 23. Now, we're going to take a few minutes, not much, but we'll touch on this a little bit, and then we'll pick up again on Wednesday. But we can look here in Matthew 23 and 23, and this is in Jesus' ministry. So the question is, should we tithe? Now, I know some of you say, yes, we should. And there may be some that say, well, I don't know. I'll give what I can. Things are tight. And whatever I got left over, I'll give. That's not a tithe. Tithe is the first that you earn. That's not left over after you've paid all the bills. Now you can look here in Matthew 23 and verse 23. It says, how terrible, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. So if it sounds different than the King James, it is. This is the New Living. How terrible it will be for you teachers in religious law, and teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. So Jesus, in his own ministry, affirmed or confirmed his belief by the Father, who spoke through him, that the tithe was important. But here, he said, you're careful to give your tithe for the tiniest thing, but you're ignoring some of the more weightier things. And of course, he was saying paying tithes does not take the place of living right. That's really what he was saying. Tithing doesn't take the place of you living right. And that's really what he was saying to them. They were teachers of the law. So the majority of references true of tithing are in the Old Testament. Tithing was not introduced under the law. It was merely regulated under the law. It came before the law. And you can, for your own sake, you can go to Genesis chapter 14. And it tells us how Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. This was 400 years before the time of Moses and the law. So it was before the law. And then also, you can look for yourself in Genesis, you can write this down, Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 and 20, and then also Genesis 28, verse 22. Isaac and Jacob also lived before the law and paid tithes. And so you can see that in the book. And so we can also see that we have a mediator of a better covenant. And we're to bring our tithes into the storehouse, but we're to present them to who? To Christ. And He presents them to the Father. And you can see in Galatians, you can turn over there, Galatians chapter 3. It says, but no man is, this is verse chapter 3, verse 11 in Galatians, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the question is, should we pay tithes? The answer is yes. But how do we do that? By faith. And that is what's pleasing to God, that you're doing and paying tithes in faith and by faith, not by the law or not by some ordinance, but you're doing it by faith, knowing what the will of God is. And once we have light in a particular area, see, when we know what the will of God is, and we take different paths, or we don't bring all of what we should in, then what you see, sin, really, when we talk about sin, it's really just not walking in the light. It's not walking in what you know. It's not what you don't know, it's what you do know. And that's the thing that moves God. When you know a thing and you don't do it, that's sin with God. And so when we know to tithe, what do I mean by that? 10% of what you make. If I make a dollar, what am I supposed to bring into the storehouse? 10 cents. See, now here's the issue with folks. This is all about the heart, and we're to operate, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. And so a lot of times, here's where the issue comes. We bring 10% and we look at the 90% and we go, eh, no way. We can't live on the 90%. And so we make choices at that point to bring in what's left over or nothing at all. And that's not what's that is not pleasing to God, and does not fulfill it. It can impact His purposes. And so we need to keep that in mind, that the will of God is the lost. The will of God is reaching. What did Cindy Duvall say? How many were here? It was such a powerful statement that the Holy Ghost made through her. Is He not worthy for the people He died for? Is He not worthy for the people that He died for? So my little stuff, what I have and don't have, He died for people. And He saved me with His blood. And now I have the privilege of serving Him. I will never see the fires of hell. And so for me to bring my seed into the storehouse to perpetuate the work of God is a privilege. That's the least I can do. And so I count it an absolute privilege to bring my tithe into the storehouse and then some. And where we run into challenges sometimes is that we don't stay steady because we look at it in the natural and we make a choice because we can't see how we're going to make ends meet. But we need to operate in faith. Things may not change instantly. But when you walk in faith, if you stay steady and you stay in faith, it will change. It will change. And we just need to stay steady. We need to keep our minds set on God's purposes. And I believe that God is stirring me to share this because we're right when Pastor Hagen had that vision in February when we were there at Winter Bible Seminar. He said, I was standing as it were just, he said, I could reach out and almost touch eternity. He said there was a veil between me and eternity. And he said it was so sheer that you could almost see through it. He said that's how close we are to eternity. That's how close we are to the return of Christ. And he said before, he said it was very thick, but because we've moved in time, we're closer to eternity. And he said, you could almost see into eternity. He said, that's how close we are. And there's much work to be done. And God is stirring our hearts because he's about ready to unfold and put into our lap all that he's revealed to us about this property next door. Because his heart is people. And it may be that we need to raise our sights and not be so thinking about, well, I got to have this and I got to have this. Like I said, God doesn't say we can't have them and shouldn't have them. But if your focus and attention and faculties are consumed with that, then it's wrong. Your focus should be on his work and his kingdom and the heart of God. And all those other things, he'll add them to you. But with a passion. See, I would say it this way, if God spoke to you, I was reading an account yesterday of Brother Copeland. He said he gave away his first airplane in the ministry around 1973. He sold it, and he said now he had to go somewhere and he didn't have a plane. God put it on his heart to give it in October, and then in January he told him who it was. And he gave it away. But he said, then God just supernaturally brought something else into the ministry. See? And so those are the things that sometimes, when you have much, much is required. And so there's nothing wrong with having much, it's just where is our attention? Where is it? We're close to eternity. And the things that we have, everything that we have, we should be listening attentively I know recently I woke up and I see I'm beginning, when I say beginning, to clearly hear the Holy Ghost very clear. And he said to me, I want you to send $1,000 over here to that ministry. They need that money. I said, okay. See, it's not about my wants or needs. That's the heart of God. He said, they need it. And so those are the kind of things we want to be sensitive to, because the more we get into the flow of that, God will just continue to pour out into your lap. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I want to be one of those. If he tells me, he hasn't yet, but if he tells me to unload everything of my assets, I won't think about it. I'll say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because if I think twice, then my heart's not right. Then my heart is on that. See? If I go, oh, God, no. I remember, and it was about 1980 or 81, I wanted to go to Rhema Bible Training Center at the time, and I had some money in the savings account, and I was going to use that to kind of stepstone or, you know, get my way into that school. And when I went out to camp meeting, I think it was 82, I'm sitting in the Tulsa Convention Center, and it was a Thursday night, and Brother Hagin said, what's tonight? And everybody said, it's Rhema Day. And I said, what's that? I don't know what that is. So he, at that time, you know, everybody give an offering. I want everybody to give. And he said, all right, men, get in your pockets. He said, get all your change out. And he used to do change offerings. And I'm sitting way up in, you know, we call the nosebleed section. Way up in the rafters. This is the first camp meeting I went. And this is what he said. I remember it like yesterday. He said, there's 40 people in this arena. There were about 20,000 people. He said, there's 40 people in here that the Holy Ghost is speaking to you that'll give $1,000. And when he said that, my spirit went, shoo, and I went, no! I did. Serious. I said, no! And I said, no, that's my money in my savings account. I can't do that. And I squirmed in my seat for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, just squirming and the Holy Ghost just moving. And I said, okay, I'll give it. I'll do it. You know, but that's what I'm talking about. That was a test for me because my heart, That was mine. I wasn't going to let go of that. And I've learned that if he tells you to do something, he already knows, you do it. And the blessings will come. And he is the one that does not forget. He doesn't forget. You may forget 20 years down the road. And when you need it, you are lavished with his love, lavished with his blessings, because you were obedient when somebody else needed it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these words that you've given. And Father, I trust that the hearer will hear and obey, and that faith will come, revelation will come. And I believe that your words, as like seed, will produce a harvest. In the name of Jesus, I believe that In Jesus' name, amen.